Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
20 years ago this week, Ireland encountered what some called our civil war. The Republic had qualified for the 2002 World Cup finals in Japan and Korea, and the country was ready for action. But little did anyone know that the most controversial drama in Irish football history was about to unfold that divided the entire country. It became known as the Saipan incident, and Cormac Battle has been taking a look back at this unbelievable turn of events. Good morning, Cormac Battle.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, so Cormac, we've qualified for the 2002 World Cup. Can you just set the scene of when the Irish squad travelled out to train for the campaign and what it was all like?
So yeah, the idea was that the team would go out to this island, Saipan, and they were going, it's mainly for rest and to get themselves ready before they started the proper training and recreation, to just, you know, chill out for a while. But Roy Keane at the time was the captain of the Republic of Ireland team and, you know, one of the best players in the world ever. He, on the other hand, had different views on this period of relaxation, and he had told Alex Ferguson that he was going to go to the World Cup and he wanted to win the World Cup. That's what he wanted. He wanted Ireland. He expected, well, not expected, but he went out with the view that we're not going to get into the quarterfinals, the semifinals. We're going to go out there and we're going to win it. So he viewed this period of period of preparation, not rest and relaxation. So he became dissatisfied, to say the least, with the facilities and the general preparation when he arrived there. So things started really badly when the team got on the plane. They were put in, you know, economy, and all the sort of the delegation were up in first class and business class. That didn't impress him. I don't think he was, I think it was more of a respect thing, an issue of like, you know, why are we down there and you guys are up there? We're the ones who are playing the football games here. We're the important ones. So it wasn't about, you're in first class, but it was an issue. They arrived at the training camp on the island of Saipan, and, you know, it wasn't up to standard. Especially in the eyes of Roy, because his standards, as we know, are very, very high. And as I said, he wanted to win the World Cup.
So wow, this was not good enough for him. That's an unusual mentality for an Irish player.
To win. But
what's
look, here's Roy talking about the conditions he encountered when he got there, which is when the wheels began to come off the whole thing.
Deadly.
The drama begins.
Let's have a listen.
The first night we got there, there was an evening meal, and Mick got Martin, the doctor, to speak about certain things, you know, to be careful of the sun and sunblock, of course, and what drinks to drink. And when he was talking about the drinks to take, he went, they're not here yet. But, and he continued, and I was sitting there and I thought, they're not here yet. And then Mick came back in, and Mick said about the training kit hadn't arrived, the training pitch wasn't as good as he thought. And as soon as Mick said that, I thought, it must be bad. And there was no balls, of course. They should have been there on Thursday or Friday or something. I think this was on the Saturday evening when we got there, or the Sunday evening. And I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't.
So, like, that was Roy when he arrived there, and he was that was his thoughts. But a little later on, I think it was that night, he actually decided to go home. And that was it. That wasn't it. This is only just the beginning. And this is Mick McCarthy speaking the next day on when he heard that Keane was going home.
Okay.
He'd been having concerns about his knee and some personal problems, which are personal to him, and he has to go home. It was a bit of a shock, to say the least, when I come off training. I didn't want him to go home, and tried to talk him out, but there was no way I was going to do it.
So we're all there now. Oh my God, Roy Keane is coming home. That's it. Oh my God, what are we going to do? But then there seems to be another change of plan overnight, and this is what happened here.
He's training this morning, he's fine, he's in with the lads, they're all gathered around him, they're all together. Maybe these things are sent to try us, and what often happens with the Irish team, we strengthen our resolve and we'll be stronger for it.
What the hell is going on, Cormac?
So Roy was going home. Something, there was some kind of diplomacy thing was going on, and he changed his mind, and Mick was happy. All was rosy in the garden again.
Okay, he's in with the team. He's back training with the no balls in the shite pitch, and they haven't got their drinks yet, and they're sweating bullets, but they have factor 50 on.
Exactly.
So what happens then?
But that wasn't the end of things.
No,
because Roy gave an interview to an Irish newspaper, which then was published, I think, the next day, about his problems with all that you've just heard, the pitch and so on and so forth. And he said he was pointing fingers, certain people. And obviously Mick McCarthy was alerted to this article, and he went and confronted Roy about the article, and a massive row ensued between the two of them. A stand-up row took place, which was...
Did people witness this?
I'm not sure if people witnessed it. I think some people did witness it as a stand-up row, and nobody intervened, or nobody, I think...
You wouldn't intervene if Roy was kicking off.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody intervened, because it was such a harsh and, you know,
heated.
There was a lot of bad things and a lot of expletives and a lot of, you know, bad blood was going down in that particular row. And so nobody got involved, which I think annoyed Roy even more, that nobody would kind of come to his aid in his problems with the whole situation. So ultimately, after all this, the shock that we weren't expecting to happen did happen. And this is what happened next.
I can't, will not tolerate, well, not being spoken to lightly, the level of abuse that was thrown at me. So I have sent him home.
So Mick McCarthy has sent Roy Keane home. Roy has not gone now of his own volition. Mick McCarthy sent the captain of the team home back to Ireland. And the whole country nearly fell apart at the time, because, you know, we were this draft and this happened. And it's just, this is the end of the world in Ireland, as far as we were concerned. And typically, Roy was picked up by a journalist on at Saipan Airport the next day on his way home. And he wasn't like, no, I have to go home and all that kind of stuff. This is the way Roy dealt with it.
Feel very good? Clear conscience. And I'm happy to be going home. Happy to go and see my family.
Any regrets at all?
No regrets.
Not even about playing in the World Cup?
More important things to worry about.
Good on you.
Okay.
You're on Roy's side then, are you?
Well, so, I like what he said there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You see, look, everybody you either had to be on one side or the other. You were either on Mick McCarthy's side.
No, I'm
and he was
Roy
right
Keane.
To send him home, or you were on Roy Keane's side, that he shouldn't have been, shouldn't have
right
tolerated these conditions.
I think, you know, I'm totally, as it stands right here, right now, listen to those clips, because I wasn't in the country at the time, and I was, I don't know where it was, but this wasn't at the time for me a big thing. But now you explain it and going through the clips and listen to what happened exactly at the moment, I'm team Roy Keane.
Team Roy at the moment. Okay, so there's another little clip there that this is really Roy telling it like it is, what he saw, especially with the pitch.
The training pitch is a disgrace. Well, somebody's got to hold a hand up and say, it's like training on a car park. Bloody rock hard. You've had one or two injuries already and I expect a few more.
Okay.
So he's saying the training pitch is like a car park, which I think it actually was and had been covered with grass.
Wow.
Because I don't think Saipan was equipped to deal with proper training facilities.
And that should have been checked by the lads in business class.
Exactly. But Roy was used to very, 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 very good facilities, because he was playing for Manchester United.
And he wants to win the World Cup.
And he wants to win the World Cup. So that's where it's at, and Roy has now, he's on the he's gone.
So he's gone.
He's left.
I'd say the Irish media went bananas.
Oh, absolutely, they went bananas. But it wasn't just the media that went. Irish people went completely mad. To give you a few examples of the reaction to the public when the news that he was gone, staff at Clifton's Station House Hotel demanded a national strike. Tradesmen on a Connacht building site downed tools on the whole site in protest with what happened. And such was the hysteria around this whole thing. Fans from Dundalk set out for the FAI HQ in a decommissioned hearse painted with like a tricolour, and they received a Garda escort. This is what was happening because Roy Keane came home. And as you said in the intro there, it has been described as Ireland's second civil war, because half the country was mourning the departure of Roy Keane, but also raging at Mick McCarthy for sending him home. And also there was other people who were raging at Keane for letting Ireland down and abandoning the country when they needed him most. So here's some of the voices of the public on where they stood on the incident at the time, because people were very divided.
No! 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 No!
He's nothing to apologise for.
Yeah, I think he's let himself down. I think in a couple of days he'll wake up and wonder why he gave up the chance to play in the World Cup for Ireland.
He got us to the World Cup. McCarthy was there as a leader, but he's no leader now.
We're all very disappointed, you know, because you know, at this stage he's letting his country down, you know.
I think Roy Keane's been treated very badly in this. I don't condone what he said in his outburst, but I certainly think that, you know, Mick McCarthy's been a long time pro. He should be able to take a more reasonable stance in it.
Come back, Roy Keane. Look at Roy Keane.
Come back, Roy Keane.
So that's very pro Roy Keane there, but
obviously, there's a mix there. If you listen carefully, there's people in there saying, you know, you should have.
I don't condone what he said, but you know, I think people inevitably wanted him to stay, and obviously wanted him to stay, and thought he would regret it. What do you think? Where do you stand on this, Cormac, yourself?
But, you know, the row continues to this day. I was talking to some people upstairs about this, and they said that they've known on occasions during this time that there were fights happened, people coming to blows, even people in their own families having physical fights about where they stood. Where do I stand? I could understand Roy's frustrations, but I feel like maybe he could have put it to one side for the sake of the good of the country and be the captain and deal with this problem maybe after the event. Because my hopes were crushed when he came back, because he's a hero. He's like, he is, you know, He is a god of football.
And
when he came home,
fare?
my hopes for the World Cup died.
How did we fare?
We did well, actually. We did reasonably well. We got into the last 16, but it was overshadowed by this whole incident. There was when he came back, he did a quick interview. It was actually a lengthy interview with Tommy Gormer from RTE. It was about the only interview he did when he got back. And this is how he encapsulated. And he was asked, would he go back? Because there was still time.
What happened to me last week, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I felt I deserved better. Now, of course I lost my temper. People will tell you that, people who know me. But people make me out to be a monster and I'm a loner. And it's nonsense, absolute nonsense.
If you thought that they'd take you back, that the players wanted
to take
you back,
me back.
Yeah.
What do you mean if they take me back?
If they thought that they'd love to have you in the team, that Mick McCarthy was prepared to bury the hatchet with you, that he was prepared to apologise, to meet you halfway, that the players wanted you back, what would Roy Keane, the guy who pulls
on
a green jersey,
do? I really don't know. Because I can't see it happening.
It's hurting you, this.
Yeah, of course it's hurting me. Dead right it is.
He didn't go back. And that was the end of the
Are you
the
crying,
event.
Cormac?
I'm not crying.
Are you
but
welling up there?
No, I'm not welling up. But, like, you know, I'm going back on this.
Talking
you know, you
football.
Have to think. I was talking to a guy from Cork who works here. And he said, every single person in the entire county was with Roy Keane, obviously, because he's from Cork as well.
Yeah, they're very loyal.
But you're and you're in listening to this, you're on Roy Keane's side.
Absolutely.
Completely. Do you not think he should have stayed though? And just like, you know.
No, I think Mick McCarthy should have made more of an effort to get him back. He should have apologised. He should have done his job as a manager to make sure the team did well in that World
you
Cup.
See, we
That's
are divided now. Like, I think Roy Keane had a lot of valid points to make, but I think he should have stayed, really.
But his pride and his values are more important.
We'll never know what would have happened at that World Cup. We haven't been back to the World Cup. We haven't been there for 20 years. We haven't been that back in 20 years, Jen. Yeah. We haven't been back in 20 years. That could have been. Maybe we would have won it.
I think you have tears
in
your eyes.
He wanted to win.
What's
he
wrong
to
win
with
it. You?
It's the onions. I have a lot
just
of onions, yeah.
You don't. But what? You're teary.
Yeah, well, look. But they did make
did
friends.
Did they ever speak? Oh, they did!
Kind of. Like, I'm not sure how much friends. They're probably not friends now, but they did shake hands a number of years later when both of them were managing teams. So that made a lot of headlines when they did shake hands, because obviously the vibe between them was pretty bad for that to happen. And it's a scar that, you know, most people, certainly big football fans, will never get over.
Surely,
because we just what could have been.
Yeah, but that's
what
a power play as well. Exactly, what could have been. I mean, that's just, it's a lot of egos there as well. They both wanted the same thing, inevitably.
I know,
they
but
both
yeah.
wanted to win.
I know, but like,
I'm being told to wrap soon because you're banging on now and you're getting teary and it's getting too emotional. Be a professional, Cormac.
God damn it.
Sort yourself out. Somebody just texted me saying, oh, Jen, this is giving me PTSD. I was 17 and a diehard football fan. I swear I thought my life was over. I cried for days. Cormac, go up to your desk and have a cry and come back to me, will you? This is ridiculous.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.